Okay. I welcome all of you once again for joining Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from verse 5.20.6 to 13. So Prabhuji, before I hand over the call to you, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give a brief introduction. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He completed BTech and MTech from IIT Mumbai in 2001, and then he worked in IT for 2 years. However, his heart became attracted to Krishna consciousness, and since 2003, he has been serving in the Brahmachari Ashram of Sri Sri Radha the Gopinath Temple. He has served in the Sikh Devotee Care and Deity Department, and he has served in the Education Department since 2013 and does youth preaching and congregation preaching as well. Prabhuji is a teacher of Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav, and he has been teaching in Bhaktivedanta Vidya Pit in Govardhan Eco Village in Wada, Mumbai. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for that brief introduction. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept all of our humble obeisances. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association in this Bhakti Sangha conference call regularly. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. You can please take over the call.
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashtaprayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtike Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanayacha Nandagopakumaraya Govindaya Namaha Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Parshat Sushitarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We'll discuss from the fifth canto, chapter 20, verse number 6 onwards, 6 to 13. Lakshadishu panchasu purushanam ayurindriya mojaha saho balam buddhir vikrama iticha sarvesham autpattiki siddhi ravisheshena vartate. Translation. O king, longevity, sensory prowess, physical and mental strength, intelligence and bravery are naturally and equally manifested in all the inhabitants of the five islands headed by Plakshadvipa. Plakshaha swa samanenekshu rasode navruto yata tata dvipopi shalmalo Dviguna Vishalaha Samanena Surade Navrutaha Parivrante. Translation. Plakshad Divipa is surrounded by an ocean of sugarcane juice, equal in breadth to the island itself. Similarly, there is then another island, Shalmali Dvipa, twice as broad as Plakshad Dvipa, 4 lakh yojanas or 3 lakh or 32 lakh miles, and surrounded by an equally broad body of water called Sura Sagara, the ocean that tastes like liquor. Yatra Havai Shalmali Plakshayama Yasyam Vava Kila Nilaya Mahur Bhagavata Shabdaha Stutaha Patatri Rajasya Sa Vipahutaye Upalakshaye. Translation. On Shalmali Dvipa, there is a Shalmali tree from which the island takes its name. That tree is as broad and tall as a Plakshad tree. In other words, 100 yojanas broad and 1100 yojanas tall. Learned scholars say that this gigantic tree is the residence of Garuda, the king of all the birds and carrier of Lord Vishnu. In that tree, Garuda offers Lord Vishnu his Vedic prayers. Tat Dvipadipati Priyavratatmajo Yajna Bahuhu Swasutebhya Saptabhyastannamani Saptavarshani Vyabhajat Surochanam Saumanasyam Ramanakam Devavarsham Pari Badramapyayana Mavignya Tamiti. Translation. The son of Maharaj Priyavrata named Yajna Bahu, the master of Shalmali Dvipa, divided the island into 7 tracts of land, which he gave to his 7 sons. The names of those divisions which correspond to the names of the sons are Surochana, Saumanasya, Ramanaka, Devavarsha, Paribhadra, Apyayana, and Avignata. Teshu Varshadrayo Nadyascha Saptai Vabignatha Swarasaha Shatashrungo Vamadeva Kundu Mukunda Pushpavarsha Sahasra Shutiriti Anumatihi Sinivali Saraswati Kuhu Rajani Nanda Raketi. In those tracts of land, there are 7 mountains: Swarasa, Shatashringa, Vamadeva, Kunda, Mukunda, Pushpavarsha, and Sahasra Shruti. There are also 7 rivers: Anumati, Sinivali, Saraswati, Kuhu, Rajani, Nanda, and Raka. They are still existing. Tadvarsha Purushaha Shuta Daravirya Darava Sundareshan Darasanya Bhagavantam Vedamayam Soma Matmanam Vedene Ejante. Strictly following the cult of Varnashram Dharma, the inhabitants of those islands who are known as Shrutidaras, Viryadaras, Vasundaras, and Ishandaras all worship the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead named Soma, the moon god. Swagobi Pitru Devebhyo Vibhajan Krishna Shukla Yoho Prajanam Sarvasam Prajanam Sarvasam Raja Andas Somona Astviti. Translation. The inhabitants of Shalmali Dvipa worship the demigod of the moon in the following words: By his own race, the moon god has divided the month into two fortnights known as Shukla and Krishna. For the distribution of food grains, the pitas and the demigods. The demigod of the moon is he who divides time, and he is the king of all the residents of the universe. We therefore pray that he may remain our king and guide, and we offer him our respectful obeisances. Evam surodat bahistadvi guna samane navruto gritadena yatha purva kushadvipo yasmin kushastambo devakritas tadvipakyakaro jvalana ivaparaha svashparochisha disho virajayati. Translation. Outside the ocean of liquor is another island known as Kushadvipa, which is 8 lakh yojanas, that is 64 lakh miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of liquor. As Shalmali Dvipa is surrounded by a liquor ocean, Kushadvipa is surrounded by an ocean of liquid ghee, as broad as the island itself. On Kushadvipa, there are clumps of Kusha grass from which the island takes its name. This Kusha grass, which was created by the demigods by the will of the Supreme Lord, appears like a second form of fire, but with very mild and pleasing flames. Its young shoots illuminate all the directions. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From the descriptions in this verse, we can make an educated guess about the nature of the flames on the moon. Like the sun, the moon must also be full of flames, because without the flames, there cannot be illumination. The flames on the moon, however, unlike those on the sun, must be mild and pleasing. This is our conviction. The modern theory that the moon is full of dust is not accepted in the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. In regard to this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sushapani Sukomala Shikas Tesham Rochisha. The Kusha grass illuminates all the directions, but its flames are very mild and pleasing. This gives some idea of the flames existing on the moon. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing the the cosmology section in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukdev Goswami is describing the Bhumandala. In the Bhumandala, the middle Jambudvipa is there. Jambudvipa is surrounded by the ocean. After that ocean comes the Lakshadvipa. Each dvipa is twice as wide as that ocean which is before that. After Plakshadvipa, there is the ocean of liquor, and then there comes a Shalmali Dvipa. After Shalmali Dvipa comes the Kushadvipa. And the description of the Plakshadvipa, Shalmali Dvipa, and Kushadvipa, they are all coming in these verses actually. Like the sixth verse, Shukdev Goswami is saying, he's talking about the Plakshadvipa, how in the Plakshadvipa people have a longevity, sensory power, and they are like and in each of those dvipa there are different islands. So Priyavrat Maharaj gave different islands to his different sons to rule. The Jambudvipa is ruled by Agnidra, and the other islands were ruled by other sons actually. Lakshadvipa is surrounded by the ocean of sugarcane juice, and the sugarcane juice is equal in breadth to the Lakshadvipa. But after the sugarcane juice, there is the another island, Shalmali Dvipa, which is twice as broad as the Lakshadvipa, or twice as broad as the sugarcane juice ocean. And then after the Shalmali Dvipa comes the ocean of liquor, Surasagara. And in the Shalmali Dvipa, there is a Shalmali tree. Dimensions are mentioned. And it is said that that this Shalmali tree is the residence of the Garuda. He offers Garuda when he flaps his wings. The flapping of the Garuda's wings are considered to be the singing of the Samaveda hymns, the Vedic prayers. So Maharaj Priyavrata named Yajna Bahu. The son of Maharaj Priyavrata called as Yajna Bahu. He was the master of Shalmali Dvipa, and he divided the Shalmali Dvipa into 7 tracts of land, and he gave it to his 7 sons. And those 7 tracts of land correspond to the 7 names of the 7 sons of Yajna Bahu. And then in those 7 tracts of land, the 7 mountains and 7 rivers are the, those names are mentioned. And the people over there, they strictly follow the Varnashram Dharma. And the inhabitants of those land, they are called by 4 names. The 4 groups of people are there: Shruti Dharas, Virya Dharas, Vasundharas, and Ishan Dharas. All of them worship the moon god with a particular prayer. That prayer is mentioned. And then outside this ocean of liquor, there is the Kushadvipa, which is twice as wide as the ocean of liquor. And Kushadvipa, outside the Kushadvipa, is the ocean of liquid ghee. And in that Kushadvipa, there are clumps of Kusha grass. And this Kusha grass appears like a second form of fire, but it is very mild and pleasing flames. And that is these are the verses which we are discussing today. So, like in fact, this entire cosmology section, it looks unbelievable actually, because the dimensions of these islands, the dimensions of the tree, the description about the ocean of liquor, sugarcane juice, ocean of ghee, ocean of mango juice, the dimensions of the mango fruit, all these things look actually unbelievable. So if you understand, like if you understand the supreme absolute truth, Krishna, to be unbelievable, then everything about his creation will be believable. All these descriptions which we are reading will be believable if you accept the absolute truth to be unbelievable. That means if you accept the absolute truth to be achintya or unlimited, ananta, or one who cannot be understood with our mind and senses, one who is beyond the mind and senses, if you accept this fact about the absolute truth, then everything he does will be believable, and everything about his creation will be believable, and all these description of these dimensions will be believable. But if you want the absolute truth to be believable, then anything he does will be unbelievable. Then anything about the dimensions of his creation will be unbelievable. So therefore, people many times, they consider these descriptions to be unbelievable, because their fundamental problem is that They consider the absolute truth to be, they want the absolute truth to be believable. That means their fundamental assumption is that everything can be understood with their mind and senses. This is the attitude of a dry jnani, actually. A jnani, or he thinks that everything can be understood with his mind and senses. So he wants absolute truth to be believable, which can be understood with his mind and senses. So such a person will consider all these descriptions to be unbelievable. So there are different categories of knowledge. There are different categories of understanding within the spiritual knowledge. There are some subject matters which we can understand on first hearing, which we can accept on first hearing. For example, design implies a designer. There are some subject matters which we understand only after some deliberation, which we need to think a little bit, deliberate, then we can accept. Example, I am not the body. So if we deliberate, if you think, we can understand that how we are not the body. And there are some subject matters which we can understand and appreciate only after undergoing certain level of purification. Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, they can be appreciated only when a person undergoes certain level of purification. Vikriditam Rajavadu, Prakriditam Rajavadu, Biritam Cha Vishnu, Shraddhan Vitonu Shuniyat, Atavarna Yetya, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati, Pratilabhya Kamam. It is said that one who hears this Krishna's pastimes of the gopis with a great faith, Shraddhan Vito means with a great faith, then all the if he hears that, then the disease of the heart, the lust, karma will be eradicated. But one can appreciate the Krishna's pastimes with the gopis only after undergoing certain level of purification. And there are certain category of knowledge which we cannot realize in this lifetime, may not be even in the next lifetime, especially about this dimensions of all these planets and these things. Maybe probably when a person transmigrates to those places, then he can maybe truly, he can actually accept those. Like, of course, if a person has faith in the words of the Vedas, so then one can accept even now. But the point is that especially to see them or to realize them, maybe only when a person is transferred to that place, may not be in this lifetime, in some other lifetime, then a person can actually understand. So these descriptions which are given here, Parishad Maharaj asked the question in the 5th canto, 16th chapter. He asked Sukadeva Goswami to give a description of all these planetary systems. So we know in the Gita, Krishna says that yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tijat yante kalevaram tam tam yeveti kaunteya sada tatbhava bhavita. Whatever a person remembers at the time of death, a person will get that kind of body. Is Parishad Maharaj not aware of this philosophy? Then why Parishad Maharaj is actually wanting to hear about the material world more and more? Because if you are thinking about the material world more and more, then you will take birth again in the material world. So Parishad Maharaj, was he not aware that Janmalava Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti, the highest success of a person's life is to remember Lord Narayana at the time of death. If Parishad Maharaj is aware of this, then why is he asking so many questions. Or why is he wanting to hear about more about the material world? Is he too much attached to the material world? So one may get this question. Even Krishna told Arjuna, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. You must rise above the three, above the Vedas, which deal with the three modes of nature. So when we think about why Parishad Maharaj is asking this question, okay, even one may think that okay, Parishad Maharaj, he is maybe asking the wrong question. But then, why Shubhadev Goswami is describing this in great detail? Shubhadev Goswami, he is a completely detached person. And why is he describing in so much detail about the different places in the material world, in the Bhumandala? So that also one may get the question. So we see that when Parishad Maharaj is hearing this description, he is only seeing everything in relation to Krishna. Because there are two things. One is to understand the greatness of the Lord. Another is to understand our own insignificance. In the condition, for a conditioned soul tends to focus his consciousness only upon me and mine. We generally tend to think in terms of only me and mine. But when we understand how great is the Supreme Lord, how insignificant we are, then it will help us to think more of the Supreme Lord. So when we understand the vastness of the Lord's creation, it will help us to understand how great is the Supreme Lord by understanding His creation, the vastness of the Lord's creation. Therefore, it will help us to transfer our consciousness from me consciousness to focus on Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami, therefore Parishad Maharaj is asking this question with that actually intention. Another reason why Parishad Maharaj asked that question is that Parishad Maharaj is asking this question for the sake of the Bhakti Mishra yogis present in that assembly. For the Bhakti Mishra yogis, for them to progress further, they need to meditate on the they need to meditate on the universal form of the Lord in the form of all these descriptions. So Parishad Maharaj is conscious of this Bhakti Mishra yogis, and for their sake he is asking this question. It is said, teaching Shastra, teaching in general, a teacher has to possess the mystic siddhi called as Parakaya Praveshanam. When the teacher is teaching a particular subject matter, he should try to understand by entering into the mind of the student and see from the mind, from the point of view of the student, is the student able to understand my way of teaching? How should I explain in such a way that the student will be able to understand it easily? The teacher should should enter the mind of the disciple, mind of the audience, and see from their point of view whether my teaching is understandable for the audience. That is why teaching is also called as Parakaya Praveshanam. Here, Parishad Maharaj is a student, Shukadeva Goswami is the teacher, guru. But even Parishad Maharaj is entering into the mind of the Bhakti Mishra Yogi is present in that assembly. And then he is seeing from their point of view what is important for them to advance in their spiritual life. They need to meditate upon the universal form. So here we see how Parishit Maharaj, although he himself is spiritually absorbed in Krishna Katha, but at the same time, he is sensitive about the people present in that assembly. And therefore, for the sake of the Bhakti Mishra Yogis, he is asking this question. Therefore, a devotee should be spiritually absorbed and he should be sensitive of the society, sensitive of the surroundings. He should be politically alert and he should accommodate people coming from different culture. When Narada Muni came to meet Uttanupad after Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest, Uttanupad was lamenting that my small child Dhruva, 5-year-old son, has gone to the forest. Is he alive or is he dead? Is he eaten by some? How is he surviving in the forest where wild animals are living? Uttanupad started lamenting, because of me, because I kept quiet, I did not say anything when Suruji chastised Dhruva. Therefore, Dhruva is hurt and he has gone to the forest. At that time, Narada Muni comes to meet Uttanupad. And the very first question Narada asks Uttanupad is that, how is your dharma, artha and kama going on? How are you making progress in dharma, artha and kama? He did not ask about moksha, because as a king, generally king's activities are completely focused on dharma, artha and kama. So Narada Muni, being aware of the situation of Uttanupad, he is only asking question about how is your dharma, artha and kama going on. That is how a devotee should be socially sensitive. And he should accommodate people from different background. How much Narada Muni was accommodating Kailash? How he was sensitive to Prachana Barishad? So here Parishit Maharaj is actually sensitive and he is understanding some of the people present at the assembly, they are Bhakti Mishra Yogis and they need to hear about the universal form of the Lord. And therefore, he is asking this question. At the same time, Parishit Maharaj himself is also relishing each and every description, because he is appreciating the vastness of the Lord's creation. And he himself is also relishing. So we see another thing, another way to see this, these descriptions is that Srimad Bhagavatam is called as Rasamalayam. Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalam Shukamukad Amrita Drava Samyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. Srimad Bhagavatam is a Rasamalayam, the emporium of the rasas. It is a reservoir of, it is only consisting of rasa. So every section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually consisting of the one of the bhakti rasas. There are 12 rasas, 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. So different sections of the Bhagavatam, there can be mixture of different rasas, or there may be, or one rasa may be prominent. So how do we see this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam from the point of view of rasa? Which rasa is present in these sections of the, in this section of the Bhagavatam? If we think about that, we will see that this section of the Bhagavatam, Shanta rasa is present. Because what is Shanta rasa? Let us discuss something about the Shantarasa, because this section talks about the vastness of the Lord's creation. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes that when a person can maintain a transcendental position of neutrality or indifference to external sense objects, and one becomes qualified to achieve love of Godhead at the stage of Shantarasa. The stage of Shantarasa. So Bhakti Rasa is composed of 5 ingredients: Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, and Sthayi Bhava. Sthayi Bhava is one's eternal affection towards Krishna. When this eternal affection towards the Lord is stimulated by Vibhava. Vibhava means that which stimulates one's affection towards the Lord. The Sthayi Bhava can be compared to the gunpowder which is stored in the firecracker. I don't know whether you call it as fire gunpowder. Like suppose in a firecracker, the gunpowder is stored. So that can be compared to the Sthayi Bhava. And then the spark of fire which comes near that firecracker, that spark of fire can be compared to the Vibhava. And when the spark of fire comes in contact with that firecracker, then the resultant firework display, that can be compared to the Anubhava. When the affection is stimulated, then the resultant emotions or the actions exhibited by the devotee, they are called as the Anubhava. Like suppose suppose there is a kalash, is the firecracker. You must have seen like kalash. Fountain, we say kalash. So in the kalash, the different, say, firecracker gunpowder is stored. But when you bring you bring another fire in contact with the kalash, then the firework display happens actually. So the kalash can be compared to the Sthayi Bhava, and the spark of fire which comes in contact with that can be compared to the Vibhava. Then the resultant firework display can be compared to the Anubhava. And there is something called as Sattvika Bhava. Sattvika Bhava is also the different emotions which are displayed by the devotee when the affection is stimulated. Anubhava also represents the different emotions which the devotee displays when the affection is stimulated. But Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava, there is a subtle difference. In Anubhava, there is a premeditated action, but in Sattvika Bhava, there is an unpremeditated display of emotion. Suppose somebody loves somebody loves cabbage pakoda, say. So he has an affection for cabbage pakoda. That affection for cabbage pakoda is like the Sthayi Bhava. And then he enters the house, and from the kitchen the cabbage pakoda smell comes. And those smells, that smell of the cabbage pakoda is like the Vibhava. When he smells, then his affection for cabbage pakoda is stimulated. And then the resultant action the person displays is, he immediately runs towards the kitchen. And that running is like the Anubhava and the Sattvika Bhava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the eternal affection, he has the affection towards Krishna, that is the Sai Bhava. And he heard a song sung by the Devadasi, and that song is like the Vibhava, that immediately his affection was stimulated, and he started running at the great speed towards the direction from which that song was emanating. And that resultant running, that is compared to the, say, Anubhava. And then he also fell down unconscious. So they are the Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava. And there is something called as Vyabhichari Bhava. Vyabhichari Bhava is translated as aggressive ecstasy. Vyabhichari Bhava, like for example, so Vyabhichari Bhava, the mother has an affection towards the child. That affection towards the child is compared to the Sai Bhava. And the mother sees that the child is about to touch the fire. Child is going towards the fire to touch the fire. So at that time, the mother goes into the momentary anxiety. And that momentary anxiety can be compared to the Vyabhichari Bhava. And then she immediately runs towards the child to save the child from touching the fire. And those actions can be compared to the Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava. In this way, there are different bhakti rasas composed of these five ingredients. Sthayi Bhava, Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava. So Vyabhichari Bhava, just like in a eatable also, different ingredients are there. Suppose if you take a Malpuva, different ingredients are there. There is something like a base ingredient in a Malpuva, which can be, I think, maybe the maida, I guess. The base ingredient, that is like the Sthayi Bhava. But when that maida is combined with the sugar and elaichi and ghee and black pepper is also there in Malpuva, then by heat, fire, and all these ingredients are combined, then you get the Malpuva. If you only have the maida, then you cannot, that is not the Malpuva. And only maida and sugar, if you combine, you cannot get Malpuva. Maida, sugar, and then with the proper procedure of heating, and then it is combined with the ghee is also added, the proper procedure is followed, then comes the Malpuva. Similarly, if only Sthayi Bhava is present, you cannot taste the Bhakti Rasa. And if only Sthayi Bhava and Vibhava is present, you cannot taste the Bhakti Rasa. When Sthayi Bhava is combined with all the other four ingredients, Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava and Vyabhichari Bhava, then you can taste Bhakti Rasa. So in the Malpuva, there is the Kalamiri is the black pepper. That black pepper is something opposite to the actual taste of Malpuva. But although that black pepper is opposite the taste of Malpuva, that black pepper being in the opposite direction of the taste of Malpuva, it enhances the overall taste of Malpuva. The black pepper is there in Malpuva, it enhances the overall taste of Malpuva. Just like when you add a little camphor in the sweet rice, camphor has an opposite taste of the sweet rice. But that camphor, it enhances the overall taste of the sweet rice. Similarly, Vyabhichari Bhava involves Yeah, momentary anxiety, sometimes a moment, vibhichari bhava involves a certain anger may be also there. It may be sometimes it can have envy may be there. Many 33 types of vibhichari bhavas are there. But the vibhichari bhavas, by taking little opposite direction of the sthayi bhava, but it enhances the overall taste of bhakti rasa. Vyabhichari bhava can be compared to the jaljeera masala you put in the nimbu juice. Jaljeera masala, it has little hard taste, but then when you add in the nimbu juice, then it enhances the overall taste. That is like the vyabhichari bhava. So in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, what from the rasa point of view, what we can taste is the shanta rasa. What we can taste is the shanta rasa, because and Rupa Goswami gives description of the shanta rasa. He talks about what are the vibhavas for the shanta rasa. Vibhava means that which stimulates one's affection, and this vibhava is divided into alambana and uddipana. Alambana, when Krishna or his devotees act as a stimulant to awaken one's love, they are called as the alambana. Krishna is the Vishaya Alambana, devotee is the Ashraya Alambana. When something related to Krishna or the devotees, when they act as a stimulant, when they act as a stimulant to awaken one's love, they are called as Uddipana. Say Krishna playing the flute, that flute sound is something related to Krishna. When that acts as a stimulant, that becomes the Uddipana. That is called as a Uddipana. So if you see the temples, the temples, when you enter any temple, Krishna temple or any ISKCON temple, so the whole temple hall is filled with alambanas and uddipanas. So we have the main deity of Krishna, and apart from that, even if the altar is closed, everywhere you see some quote is there, or some painting is there, or some picture is there, or some acharya's photos are there. So all these things come under alambana and uddipana. Any spiritual place is actually made in such a way, like which is, it is filled with the different alambanas and uddipanas, which is supposed to awaken our love for Krishna. Because we don't have a sthayi bhava, because we have now developed our constant affection towards Krishna, even though you may be in a place which is surrounded by alambanas and uddipanas, our affection is not stimulated, because the sthayi bhava is not developed in us. Just like, for example, a mother has affection towards the child. When the mother sees the photo of the child and the photo acts as a stimulant, as a vibhava or as a alambana or uddipana, that awakens that mother's affection towards the child, and the mother starts shedding tears. But suppose if some other lady sees that photo of this child, that will not awaken any affection towards in the mind of another lady, because this lady does not have the affection towards that particular child. Therefore, because she doesn't have the sthayi bhava towards this particular child, so when this lady sees the photo of this child, because the sthayi bhava is not there, it does not create any emotion, it does not stimulate anything in the heart of this lady. But when the mother of the child, because the mother has a sthayi bhava towards the child, when that particular mother sees the photo of the child or the shoe used by the child or the cloth used by the child, they act as a stimulant and the mother starts shedding tears. So here, these descriptions in the fifth canto, they are the Uddipanas to awaken one's Shantarasa. So Rupa Goswami says that what are the Uddipanas which awaken one's Shantarasa? Which awakens the Shantarasa? He says that the impulse of a saintly person is to be engaged in the study of the Vedas, especially the Upanishadic portions. So when a devotee in Shantarasa, when he reads the Upanishad portions of the Vedas, those descriptions in the Upanishad portions, they act as a Uddipana and they awaken one's Shantarasa. Or when the devotee in Shantarasa, when he lives in a solitary place where there is no disturbance from the common people, that solitary place, the residents in the solitary place acts as a Uddipana to awaken his Shantarasa. So Uddipana is one type of Vibhava. Vibhava has two categories, Alambana and Uddipana. Alambana is when Krishna or his devotees act as a stimulant to awaken one's rasa, they are the Alambana. When something related to Krishna, the devotees act as a stimulant, that is the Uddipana. And another Uddipana for Shantarasa is to see the Supreme Lord in his universal form. So the description of the universal form is given here. The universal form especially contains a description of the gigantic aspect of the Lord's creation. So these descriptions of the Bhumandala, the Lord's creation, they help one to meditate on the universal form. So these descriptions are like the impetuses or the Uddipana to awaken the Shantarasa. So, in that sense, we can see this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you see from the rasa point of view, we can see this as a description to awaken the Shantarasa. Like other things which awaken the Shantarasa is smelling the tulasi leaves offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, or hearing the sound of the conch shell, going to the holy places of pilgrimage, or going on the course of the Ganges. These can also act as the Uddipana to awaken the Shantarasa. The Kumaras, when they smelled the tulasi leaves offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, the Shantarasa was awakened, they experienced Shantarasa. Tasya Ravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Sankshobha Makshara Jusham Apichitta Tanvo. The four Kumaras, they got agitated and when they smelled the tulasi leaves offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. And what else? I wanted to discuss about the Pramanas, but I think the description will take a lot of time. So we have to, when we read these descriptions, like Prabhupada says in one purport that you can neither prove these descriptions nor can you disprove these descriptions. You can't prove these descriptions because you don't have access to these places with our present body and senses. We don't have our senses capable of perceiving this. But at the same time, you cannot disprove these descriptions. So we have to put faith in the words of the Shastras, this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes they can challenge our faith, because we have a deep-rooted conditioning to accept what is what we can experience, what we can perceive with our senses. There are different mindsets in the pre-modern psychology. Is that the pre-modern psychology, when you quote something from the Shastra, people would immediately accept it. If you quote from the Vedas, so the Shastras are saying like that, people would immediately accept it. Shastra was considered as an authority. And in the modern psychology, the modern mindset was that science was considered as an authority. And if you quote from the scientists, then people would accept it as a people would accept that as an authority. Talking about science, there is a beautiful quote of the science. There is a people, they actually accept the findings of the scientists blindly. But there is one, sometimes there are certain inside men for the scientific field. They reveal how the scientific research goes on. There was one Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, a well-known biologist. He writes in his book, he says that through studying scientists in action, sociologists of science have revealed that scientists are indeed like other people. That means they are subject to social forces and peer group pressures. And they need acceptance, funding, and if possible, political influence. And their success does not depend simply on the ingenuity of their theories or the facts they discover. The facts do not speak for themselves. Whatever phenomena that do not fit their research finding, they are routinely dismissed or explained away. They usually ignore what they do not want to deal with. So the inside men in the scientific field, they say that scientists many times they manipulate their theories according to the research funding. So people say that many of the modern scholars, they don't want to accept the when they try to study the scriptures, they don't want to accept the guru. They say that if we study under the guru, we cannot get objective knowledge. We can get only subjective knowledge. Because the guru will teach from his point of view. Whatever he teaches will be subjected to the emotions and the conditionings of that person. Therefore, we don't want to accept a guru to study the Shastra. This is the opinion of the many of the Western Indologists or the Westernized Indian Indologists, Indian scholars. We will accept with our own intelligence. Because we want to get objective knowledge. But the same Rupert Sheldrake, he says in one of his book, he says that people think that scientists give objective knowledge. And they glorify the scientists and their findings. But actually, scientists, their knowledge is very much dependent on their knowledge and research findings. They are dependent on the research funding. The corporates, they manipulate, they give so much of money. And they say that you have to come up with a research finding according to this conclusion. If you see the clinical research, when they try to come up with the different drugs, many of these companies, many of the research findings are manipulated. Now, one of my friend who was working in that field, he was narrating that how they say that they tell the people working in the clinical research field, you come up with this particular research findings, and you will get a free trip to abroad like that. So many times people think that scientists give objective knowledge, but the scientific finding is also what they give is also subjective knowledge. So in the modern era, science was considered as an authority, and the postmodern era, people consider experience as an authority. That means what I can perceive with my senses, only I consider that as an authority. But my experience is the authority. When they accept science as an authority, at least, even though they don't experience, but they believe in the words of the scientists. It is a kind of a Shabda Pramana direct, but putting faith in the scientist. At postmodern era, people consider experience as an authority. So when they hear such descriptions about this descriptions of all these planets, they will say, oh, all these are some mythology, and they will say. So the point is, people who consider experience as an authority, they are the followers of Charvak. They are the followers of Charvak, who said that Rinam Kritva Gritam Pivet Yavat Jivet Sukham Jivet Basmi Bhutasya Dehasya Kuta Punar Agamo Bhavet. So it is said that there was one philosopher who was trying to make fun of the Charvak. He said, he told the Charvak's followers, he said, it's a beautiful verse. Charvaka tava charvangi jarato viksha garbini pratyaksha matra vishwaso ganashwasam kimujyasi. My dear follower of Charvak, since you have faith only in the direct evidence of your senses, why are you sighing so deeply? Why are you in so much of anxiety to see your lovely wife now pregnant by some other man? So he's basically trying to make fun of the Charvak's follower that you are not seeing your wife being made pregnant by some other man. So why are you in so much in anxiety? You believe only in the Pratyaksha Pramana. So the point is that Pratyaksha Pramana is needed, but Pratyaksha Pramana has to be accepted within its natural limits. It should not be extended beyond it. So especially for those things which cannot be understood with our senses, we have to accept the Shabda Pramana. So I'll stop here to summarize what we discussed about different categories of knowledge, and we discussed why Parishit Maharaj asked the question about to Sukadev Goswami about this description of this planetary systems. We discussed about that, and also we discussed Bhagavatam as a rasamalayam. We discussed the different ingredients of the Bhakti Rasa, and when you see from the Rasa point of view, these descriptions in the fifth canto, they are like a Udipana for the awakening ones, the Shantarasa. So in these descriptions, we find the Shantarasa part of the Shantarasa is actually there in these descriptions. So Hare Krishna. Stop here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for this detailed session about the way of getting the knowledge, and really that example, that explanation about Alambana and Udipana, it was really helpful. We will never forget, hopefully. Thank you Prabhuji, thank you so much.
Sparkler, I think Mataji has given that sparkler, correct? Sparkler is the word in English.
Yeah, sparkler. So that is for Udipana, you mean Prabhuji?
Yeah, Udipanas are like the sparklers. Vibhava has Alambana and Udipana. So both are like the sparklers.
But usually Udipana is a non-living thing and Alambana is a living entity like that. We
can anything see related some soul, to some Krishna. People. Anything related to Krishna and the devotees, they are like the Udipanas. Mukunda Datta he took Gadadhar Pandit to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was being served by different people in an opulent way. And Gadadhar Pandit was wondering, why Mukunda Datta brought me to this particular place? He seems to be like a Vishayi. Gadadhar Pandit were very austere brahmachari. And he was wondering, why did he bring me to this place? So understanding what was going on in the mind of Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda Datta recited a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ago Bhakiyam Sanakana Kutam. So that verse acted like a sparkler. As a Udipana, or as a, you can say, that verse is related to, which describes about Krishna's mercy to Putana. So that verse acted like a sparkler. And because in the Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the Sthayi Bhava, the constant affection towards Krishna was present. Gadadhar Pandit could not see that, but when that verse in the form of the sparkler came, then the resultant Anubhava and Sattvika Bhavas were exhibited by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He went into ecstasy. So then the Gadadhar Pandit could understand that he is a very elevated devotee. Then later he accepted Pundarik Vidyanidhi as his guru. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. I have one hand. Like Anuradha Mataji, you can ask her a question.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji. There are so many points to remember. So, yeah, so my basic question, Prabhu, usually we hear that in Goloka Vrindavan, there are only four rasas and not the Santa rasas. Is that correct understanding, Prabhu?
No, the trees are all in Santa rasas.
Okay, because I have heard there are only four rasas and Mahaprabhu also speaks about only. So, my next question was what are the trees and the stones? I mean, so you're saying there are.
They are in
Santa, okay. So, is it Prabhu? Is it a moving thing, like from Shanta to Dasya, Dasya to Vatsalya, and like that? Is it? Is it moving or a Sakya and like that? Is it moving or it like one can be like it as it sparkle comes and then you stay there or it keeps moving one stage to another, Prabhu?
Generally, a devotee is fixed in one particular type of rasa. Sometimes he may experience other rasas, but predominantly a devotee is fixed in one type of rasa.
So like it's already
trees and stones, they don't have the capacity to experience dasya, sakya, this thing. They are fixed only in shanta rasa. But sometimes there can be other devotees. Were fixed in Shanta Rasa, sometimes they may experience Dasya Rasa, sometimes the Dasya Rasa devotees, sometimes they may experience Shanta Rasa. That's a detailed subject matter Bhakti Rasam Sindhu is, Rupa Goswami discusses.
Okay, Prabhu, so more or less it sounds like it's already innate or dormant in one, and when you get your constitutional position, that's what it reveals, but yeah. I understand it's a deep subject matter, Prabhu, but thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare like, Krishna.
Suppose there is a bindi sabji is there. It's a predominantly bindi is there. But sometimes in some servings when you are eating, maybe some groundnut also comes or some chili also comes. But predominantly, it's a particular sabji. So predominantly a devotee is in particular rasa. But sometimes he may experience other rasas in certain situations. But of course, certain things like trees and stones, they are only in Shanta. There could be some exceptions.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Dhanavad Pranam.
Thank you, Mataji, for that question. I request devotees, if they have any questions, they can ask now. have any questions for realization, they can share now. Yes. If no one have any further questions, we can end the call here.
Sorry, Mataji, can I ask?
Sure, Mataji.
Sorry, Prabhuji. I mean, the class was very nice, but you know, my understanding is very, very low. I'm a little confused. So, you know, I understand. I mean, I feel that Sthayi Bhava is all in us. It's already in us. It's as an inert, it's our nature to have an affection for, have love for Krishna. But how do I ignite it, or how are the different ways to ignite it? What are the different sparklers like association and all? Could you elaborate more on how do I...
Sthayi Bhava is reached only after a person reaches the stage of Bhava and Prema.
Are you? Oh, okay.
So if somebody is in that stage, then maybe Sthayi Bhava is there.
Okay.
So
okay.
Just, that is why the current stage, somebody is not in that stage. If somebody is in the stage of Bhava and Prema, then when he comes, the Sthayi Bhava is present, then when he comes in contact with the Vibhava, then immediately that awakens his affection. Madhavendra Puri, he would just see the cloud, dark cloud, and then he would go into ecstasy. We may also seen many times a dark cloud, but why such things don't happen to us? Because we don't have the Sthayi Bhava. The Sthayi Bhava comes only after. Sthayi Bhava is developed only after the person comes to the Bhava.
Okay, Prabhuji, I got it then. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
This is a general concept of Bhakti Rasa. It is applicable even in the material platform. Suppose somebody has a, say, Sthayi Bhava towards the songs of a particular music director. He likes a particular music director, songs or something. And suddenly he is going in a, say, bus, that particular song is played. Some particular song. So that song acts like a vibhava. And then he starts dancing. So just a simple example. So in the sense, Sthayi Bhava it can be towards different other things. When we talk about Bhakti Rasa, we are talking about the Sthayi Bhava towards Krishna. And that is reached when a person comes to the stage of Bhava Prem. So for a conditioned soul, we may have the Sthayi Bhava. We have the Sthayi Bhava towards, say, it could be some movie director, or it could be towards some eatable, or it could be different other objects of this world. And then when a person comes in contact with the Vibhava of the related to that particular Sthayi Bhava, then the affection is stimulated. Then the person, there are resultant, and the affection is stimulated. A person exhibits that affection in different ways.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the clarification. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Hare
Krishna, Prabhuji. It was so wonderful class. Sorry, Mataji, go ahead.
You know, Mataji, you can please go ahead with your question.
No questions, Mataji. Actually, it was such a wonderful class, Prabhuji. I dandavat pranams to you. So very well you explained about Bhakti Rasa, the Bhakti Bhava, which we have to know about it. With so many examples you expressed. So it was the explanation was so deep that it will not be forgotten. So it's very nice explanation. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for patiently.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranams. Prabhuji, beautiful class. I just had one question. I hope it's okay to ask. I mean, I do understand the Kumaras having Shanta Rasa, but I'm not sure even Prahlad Maharaj is categorized in that category of Shanta Rasa. So that kind of evades me. Are you able to please throw some light, Prabhuji? Thank you.
Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj is also in Shantarasa. See, Shantarasa is not something inferior. It's a very high stage actually. So sometimes Shantarasa is also a very high stage. Pandavas are in Sakya Rasa with Krishna. But when Yudhishthira Maharaj heard the whole distant Maharaj story, Yudhishthira Maharaj started feeling that, oh, Prahlad Maharaj is so advanced that the Lord appeared personally for him. But I'm a very low person. I'm not so fortunate. Like that, Yudhishthira Maharaj started thinking. From a technical point of view, Sakya Rasa is higher than the Shanta Rasa. The Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj is in Sakya Rasa. With a flavor of Vatsalya also, because Yudhishthira is superior to Krishna. So it is higher than the Shanta Rasa. But from the consciousness point of view of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is thinking that, oh, Prahlad Maharaj is so great. I am so insignificant compared to Prahlad Maharaj. So, the sense, that is the humility of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, we have to understand that all these rasas are highly elevated. They are highly, very advanced stages. And it is like somebody, for a person who is practicing bhakti with Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, is unsteady devotional service. So at that time, we go through different mood swings. One day we feel enthusiastic, other day we don't feel enthusiastic. One day we feel like chanting more, another day we don't feel like doing. So these mood swings of a devotee who is practicing Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, it is like a daily wage worker. Sometimes there are some daily wage workers who go and actually sell different things in different homes. When I was at my hometown, like every day, one lady would come to sell some flowers. Just one glass of flowers, she would sell for 20 rupees, 15 rupees. And she would sell in some 10 houses or 15 houses. Some people will buy, some people will not buy. So daily wage worker, some days he would get 100 rupees, some day he would get 200 rupees. One person, I went to repair my chapel. I gave my chapel for repair in the morning. And then I went to collect the chapel in the evening after 5 hours. And he was completely taking rest the road, the side of the road. That maybe I could see that maybe he didn't have any work on that day. And then he gave me a chapel. I gave the whatever amount. The daily wage worker, sometimes he gets 50 rupees, sometimes 0 rupees, sometimes 200 rupees. So a person who is practicing Anishtita Bhajana Kriya is like a daily wage worker. Someday he feels enthusiastic. Someday he doesn't feel enthusiastic. We go through different mood swings. That is when Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, there are different symptoms like Gana Tarala, Vyuda Vikalpa, and all these symptoms are there. Krishna Chakotipad explains. So from the point of view of daily wage worker, suppose if you are giving a seminar to the daily wage worker about the difference between million, billion, trillion, zillion, and quadrillion. But all these things will become like it will not make sense to him, the sense that all these things will be like too high for him. For a person who is earning 200, 300 rupees, like millions itself is huge actually. But there is a difference between million, billion, when you see trillion and quadrillion, this thing. In the Rasa platform, there is a gradation. But from our point of view, even the Shanta Rasa is like a million. From our point of view, means from a daily wage worker point of view, Shanta Rasa is a very high stage. Compared to million, the billion may be higher than the billion is higher than the million. Pandavas are in a Sakya Rasa higher than the Shanta Rasa. But from their consciousness point of view, they say that, oh, Prahlad Maharaj is so great. We are so fallen. So therefore, we have to study the consciousness of the devotees. So these are topics of rasa. It's not that Shantarasa is something inferior, it's a very high stage. Hare Krishna.
Thanks, Prabhuji. I do understand that coming to the rasas itself is a big deal, but I mean, trying to understand Prahlad Maharaj in Shanta, I would perhaps more look at him like at Dasya or something. So that was a little difficult for me to understand. That's why I asked the question. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
So I think we'll stop here.
Yes. Pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa putarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha. Vatanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavo namaha. Okay. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Jai. His Grace Radhika Prabhuji ki jai. Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.